Welcome to episode 25 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, the home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Guys, I want to talk to you. The topic today, we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of maintaining a marriage. Just all that stuff you're supposed to be doing in marriage. That stuff that we hit so hard when we're courting or dating and all other stuff that we often put on the side once we get married, and then we put more on the aside once we have those kids. And it's so important for us to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about what we need to be doing about that, how we need to be focusing on that, and why it's so important. Before we get into that, guys, consider sharing me on Facebook and Twitter. As always, I recommend you guys get on there and put these over on your Facebook and Twitter accounts. Get these folks listening to this. It's such important information. We absolutely need to be addressing it and covering it whenever we go through all these things. Also, consider liking me on Facebook and following me on Twitter as well. Those are a couple good ways to be able to listen to and see the information that comes out. I try to blog or I try to tweet and post my updates as soon as I get these. As a matter of fact, I've got them automated to do that whenever we get there. So check those two things out. Also consider subscribing on iTunes and Stitcher as well. That's a way to get podcasts directly onto your Apple device or your Android device. Both of those are completely free of charge as well, and so are these podcasts, which always will remain that way. Guys, check out the blog. Also, book list. Today, book list, imperative. Got to talk about that today. In my book list, in this upper right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, in my book list, there are a series of books in there that I recommend, two of which are very, very marriage-related. I recommend it, why I think you should go get it yourself. So go check that out whenever you get a chance. Download that book. You can go through my link and you can get it on your Kindle, on whatever else. You can order a hard copy book if you're one of those that like to have it in front of you, whatever it is. I do most of my reading nowadays on my iPhone. Just kind of the way I like to roll with it. Also, there's a book in there called His Needs, Her Needs. It's another book that I highly recommend. Discusses, in a general sense, some of the needs that men and women both have. It discusses, for instance, men's need and desire to have a play partner, somebody they can go do and have fun with and play with. Really important, I think, to get in there and get some of these ideas. It explains kind of the woman's psyche and the man's psyche, and it helps kind of explain those to each other. If you guys have heard me talk about that bank account that you build up with your kids, came directly from the mentalities of this book. We read this sucker probably almost 10 years ago. Love that. Have used that. Check that book out. Click on it. Head over there to Amazon and pick those books up. Highly, highly, highly recommend those. Guys, also consider becoming a PTAC. PTAC stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's just a funny way of talking about being a supporter of Family Podcast Network. You can do that by becoming a PTAC. If you think that FPN is helping you at 20 cents per episode, consider becoming a member. I've put several different things in there. Number one is just a monthly PTAC membership. If you just want to get in there and just kind of test drive it out and put those on there but not feel like you're engaging yourself in the long term, that's the one for you. It is recurrent every month. It'll renew itself and charge the extra 5 months. You can also do a year-long PTAC. If you just want to do $150 membership right at the front of the gate, you can do that. And what that'll do is that's going to save you approximately 13% on your yearly amounts. And then also, if you just want to do a regular donation, if you just want to donate a certain amount above or below one of those, that's fine. If you're saying, Trey, I can't afford $5 a month, but I can afford two or one or three or four, that is just fine with me. I'm just looking to get any support that we can get on doing this, and that's a good way to do that. Or if you're saying, Trey, I want to go over those amounts, that is just fine. There's that donation opportunity in there as well. Guys, also take a look at our contact us if you have any questions or comments that you want to get into. Guys, you can also log into FPN with Facebook. Also, there's the FPN newsletter if y'all want to hop on that and get notified anytime I put new material up. And then also you can connect with FPN through Facebook, Twitter, your RSS feed as well. So consider checking those things out. Guys, let's talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. Topic for today is going to be maintaining marriages in the midst of being a parent. Let's be straight with each other. One of the number one things that I think that most of us put on the back burner is, guess what? We put our dadgum marriages on the back burner. You know, and I think you're going to see a fluctuation that goes back and forth between the two, between putting ourselves on the back burner, the lowest priority, or putting our marriages on the back burner, the lower priority. You take a look at the marriage statistics, guys, and I'll try to look some of those statistics up and put them in the show notes down there, so you can click through and look at them and see for yourself. But marriage statistics and divorce rates are starting to look pretty crappy. And I don't think it's because we're not learning how to love each other, and I don't think it's about not caring about spouses when we get into marriages or getting married too fast. I mean, yes, sure, it's some of each one of those things. But I think what we're running into the most nowadays is that we have put marriage on the back burner. And we prioritize all these other things as more important, whether it be making money, right? Or maybe it be taking care of the kids. Maybe it be taking care of ourselves. But we've kind of depolarized that and made our marriages kind of one of the last thing that we're focusing in on. And let me tell you, that's a dangerous, dangerous game to play, even in the parenting mindset. Why is that? We talk about this all the stinking time. Who is watching you as a parent to learn everything they're going to do in life? Who's watching you? It's your kids. Your kids are watching you to learn everything they're going to do in life. And if they're being taught by you that you take your marriages, you take that relationship with that significant other that you have, and you put that on the back burner, and you don't feed into that, you don't take time for each other. Whenever you do that, your kids pick up on that, and guess who begins to emulate and do that as well? More often than not, our kids will. It is very, very important. One of the number one places that our children get to see healthy intimacy is supposed to be in the midst of our marriages. And so it is absolutely imperative that we take the time to feed into and build up our marriages. Because our kids are watching to see, what is mommy and daddy going to do? What do they do to love on each other? How do they take care of each other? And do they prioritize that? And absolutely, most emphatically, the answer to that has got to be yes. We've got to take care of those. So what can we do? I'm going to keep today's real short. I just want to kind of talk about this in a real brief amount of time. So what do we need to be doing? Number one, set a time, daily time, repeating that again, daily time for you and your significant other to just sit down and talk, visit, and just be. My wife and I, what we do is because we have fairly autonomous and flexible schedules in our lines of work, my wife being a stay-at-home mom and me being a caseworker-type, therapist-y type, because we have some of that flexibility, then what we do is we get up in the morning, we get the kids up, we get them down for breakfast, and we pour us some cups of coffee, and we sit down on the couch and visit. And we protect that time as though it is sacred, and you absolutely cannot touch that little bad boy. So when the kids come in, they say, blah, 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 blah. The kids, go to your room. This is mommy and daddy's time. When kids come in, dad, can we get them? Hey, guys, not right now, sugar. It's time to head to your room. That's one of the things we do. We don't do that to be mean. We don't do that to be hurtful. We do that because we value and prioritize our time as husband and wife. And we sit down and we visit. So that's one of the number one things you need to be doing, is making sure you're taking time for each other just to sit down and visit and prioritize that. Make that time something that you don't allow anything else to interrupt. I love doing it in the morning times, and I'm not a morning person either, but that's one of my favorite times of day. We sit down and we talk about whatever's on our minds, something we're nervous about, something that we've been learning, something that we're scared of, something that one of us said that hurt or offended the other person. And we take the time and we hash that crap out. My wife always says, whenever people ask my wife, you know, what is your secret to successful marriage? Because we have a wonderful marriage. When they ask my wife, one of my wife's number one things is we hash out all of our stuff. We deal with our stuff. And we keep talking with each other. And I don't disagree with her. I think that is probably one of the fundamental best things that we do in our marriages. Now, don't hear me say that our marriage is perfect or something like that, or trying to build myself up as a guy who gets it right. Trust me, my wife will also be the first person to say, let me tell you something, Trey doesn't always get it right. So that's not my purpose. I don't want to sound arrogant in all this, but we have a really good marriage. So that's the number one thing we do, is we take that time for each other and we don't allow other things to influence or affect it. Second thing I recommend, and some of you people out there are going to be like, oh, God, Trey, thanks for the same advice everybody gives you. The reason why they give it, guys, is guess why? It works. Go on dates. You need to be going on dates. You need to be doing all that just goofy crap that you did whenever y'all first met each other, where y'all were, you know, the men was bringing the roses and the ladies was making the awesome meals and dinners. They were taking it and going out to eat and gifts, and that needs to keep happening. There's a reason why it worked for you guys at the start, and there's a reason why it still works now. So I highly recommend get back into all those little things that you were doing whenever you were dating and courting. Hang out, spend time with each other, go fun places, go to romantic dinners, take them out for anniversaries, buy things for their, you know, whatever it is that the other person likes and likes for you to do, do it. So this kind of transitions me into my next one pretty well. My next one is figure out what the other person likes and dislikes in terms of their love language. Okay, so you're like, what is that? First off, for all you guys that just heard this and just thought, give me back your man card, man. Hang tight with me. This stuff can pay off for you later if you just pay attention to it. Gary Chapman writes a book called The Five Love Languages, and his principle is this, is that there are five different types of love languages that are out there. So this guy Chapman, who wrote these five love languages, kind of boils it down to these five different ones, and they're this. Number one is this idea of quality time, right? This is kind of that mentality that says nothing says I love you like spending time with each other, right? Undivided attention, I think, is kind of the generalized idea behind it. These are the folks that they want not just for a person to be there, but to be there completely. They want the TV off. They want you completely focused on them. They want you not reading their books, not in a cell phone, not on the, you know, on the phone. You know, not surfing the internet, not tinkering around with something. Even though that person may be fully capable of dividing their attention perfectly, the quality time one is the one that just wants you to be there, everything put down, right? All tasks on standby, and makes you, that to them, that makes them feel absolutely special, right? And loved. So all those other things are put aside. Next one is receiving gifts. You got to be careful with receiving gifts, because I think a lot of people hear receiving gifts and they automatically move to the assumption that receiving gifts is like a materialism or a monetarianism, or you're focused on money or things or items, and that's really not the issue behind it at all. For a receiving gifter type, it's that thought process that somebody put time into you to think about a gift that you might like and to go buy it for them, and to them, that says that they're cared for, that they're loved. You know, these can be, you know, just every little gestures that you can do on a day-by-day basis, right? So the principle behind receiving gifts is they like to get things because of the effort that has gone into to figure out what they like. The next one is acts of service. This is the one that, these are the folks that like to have things done for them to help show them that they care. Like, that might be coming in and cleaning up the living room for somebody, or maybe doing a set of dishes. Those are those things that say, I love you and I care you, is when you stop and you help me around the house. So it's acts of service. And then the last is physical touch. When they say physical touch, they're not just talking about like bedroom type stuff, right? Now, that can be one of the areas that this occurs, but we're talking about outside the bedroom. These are those folks that like to get touched and connected with, you know, a pat on the arm, a squeeze, a hug. These are the folks that maybe like to be patted on the back more than others, or arm squeeze. All those different kinds of things that you can do to help show that kind of stuff. So one of the questions might be, well, Trey, in a marriage, can you be more than one? Most emphatically. Check this out. It's a major contention my wife and I had when we first got married. My wife is most assuredly an acts of service. She likes to have things done for her. She's that kind that if I came home and brought her roses and chocolate, she's just as soon chunk those in a trash can if I would sit down and just wash dishes or help the kids into the bath or something like that. So she's an act of service, right? I am a verbal affirmation type. I like to hear, good job, I love you, I sure do appreciate you, and those kinds of things. And then also, I'm a huge gift getter as well. I'm a gift receiver. I love to get gifts from folks. So you can imagine, when you put two people into the same room, right? So somebody who said, you know, likes being told they're loved by getting gifts or by those words of affirmation, right? And you mix that in with a person who says, forget all that crap. For, you know, forget telling me or hugging on me. Just go do something. Go do something that helps me, right? You put those two people in the same room. Understanding that, we humans have a tendency to send our love and that love language in the same way we like to receive it. So I tell you, when we first got married, man, I was buying my wife roses and I was getting her cards and chocolates and telling her I loved her and hugging on her and smooching on her and all those different things that I like. let me tell you, I'm telling you, the only time where we got close to uttering the D word, by that I mean divorce, the only time we even got close to doing that was while we were going through that, and I was sending this and sending this and sending this, and that lady was just waiting for me, dude, just go wash some dishes, quit bringing me crap, and go wash me dishes, but we didn't understand this yet. And I read this book, and I remember thinking, holy crap, I can tell you exactly what my wife is. And I spent and devoted from the minute that I read that book until today figuring that out and adjusting how it is that I send and receive. And so now I know when I walk in the house, save the time. Don't go to Walmart and buy flowers or go to the florist and pick up a nice bouquet. Just get home as soon as you can and sit down and get out the Dawn OxyClean, you know, dishwashing soap and start scrubbing those dadgum dishes. That's what makes a difference to her. Go in there and make the bed without her having to do it. That is how I've learned is one of the best ways to get to the key to my wife's heart. So sit down. I'm telling you guys, sit down and read that book, Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Sit down and read that book and have fun and then figure out not only what you are, but also what is your spouse. And then start practicing things. So if you acknowledge that, okay, maybe you're the affirmation type. And you realize that your spouse is a quality time and words of affirmation, right? So they like for you just to be around in them, by, you know, with them, and they like for you to stop and just tell them how awesome they are and how much you appreciate them and tell them that you love them and that you care about them. If you discover they're that, I'm telling you, stop. The next time they come in and they start talking to you, and men, I understand whenever the ladies get the chit-chatty. I get that. But here's what I'm promising you. You take the time, you pause your TiVo, you turn off your TV, and you focus on them for that moment. I don't know if you guys ever saw that commercial for a major TV affiliate who was trying to sell their services. And there's this man sitting down, and he's watching TV, and his wife comes in, and she just starts talking. And so he pauses his TiVo, and he turns at her, and he listens to her, and he really pays attention to her. And she gets done and she goes, wow, you are so hot to me right now. The idea behind that is spot on. That guy had figured out what her love language was, figured out how to send it, took a little bit of sacrifice, but he didn't lose anything because he had the game TiVo'd, and then what happened? He was the hottest thing ever. And I'm telling you guys, that kind of thing can, I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying it can happen if you'll just give it a chance. So go grab the book. Everybody I've ever recommended this book has grabbed it and said, I planned on reading it in a week, read it in one day. That's the way. It's an easy read. It's a simple read. It ain't that big. And people walk away from it gleaning a lot of amazing information. So go pick up that book, figure out what your spouse is, get them to read it so they can figure out what kind you are. And I'm telling you, you're walking yourself into having a heck of a lot happier life when you can figure these things out. Guys, listen, adamantly clear here. I got to be adamantly clear on this. Respect each other. Quit being a jerk to each other. Quit being rude or disrespectful. Be respectful to each other. You say, Trey, how is this a parenting issue? Who is watching you to learn everything they're going to do? Number one thing that'll happen, my guess is, your kids will become just like you. And if you're a jerk to each other in their marriages, you're teaching them to be jerks in theirs. I'm not saying they're guaranteed that. But the chances of them having the exact same kind of experiences in their families is very high if they see you do it. The second part of it is, maybe they don't become that person, but they become that person that think that's what you're supposed to be treated like. So maybe they don't become the jerk, but they become the person who receives the jerkisms. And you don't want that either. This is very common. You often see in little girls. And you don't want that for your kiddos. And little boys can do it too, but little girls will pick up on that mentality, is that people are going to be jerks to me. And that's just kind of the way it is. That's just the way marriage is. And it doesn't have to be that way. So take the time, be respectful to each other, and let your kids see you doing that. Again, kind of dovetailing this last idea, one of my next ones is, it's very similar, but tell each other when you think they're awesome. Find those things that you like about each other and tell each other when you think they're awesome. When you think they just did something that's amazing, say it. When you think that they look incredible, say it. When you think that they just figured something out that is absolutely astounding, say it. And that kind of goes back to the respect thing, but I'm kind of delineating. I'm kind of pulling that apart just a little bit. And though they run the same parallel course, they are a little bit different. But as you're respecting them, make sure you're letting them know what you think is awesome about them. Remind them that you know why you decided to marry them and not somebody else. Point those things out. And I mean, you say, Trey, well, you're just trying to say make them feel better. Yeah, absolutely. Make them feel good about each other. Tell them how awesome they are and love on them a little bit. And last, because I told myself I'm going to make this short, I'm going to make this as short as I can. And I want to end on this, guys. Build up your bank account with your spouse. So you say, what am I talking about with that? It's the same concept that I tell you with your kids. Build up that bank account. So you make a deposit with them. So let's just take a situation with my wife, right? So I come home and I go and take the trash out, and she didn't have to remind me it needs to be taken out, right? To my wife, because she's an acts of servicer, that's a friggin' huge deal. Way bigger than flowers or any of that other crap. She loves it when I come home and just sit down and go to work. Because in her mindset, the act of servicer says, he is sitting down helping me make my job easier. And to her, that is equivalent to, dang, he loves me a lot, which is incredible. And you know, really, that's easy. Once I learned how, that's an easy thing to do, right? So I sit down and I do that. I take the trash out and run around. Then I come back inside and I put a new liner in so she didn't have to remind me to do that. And then I sit down and I start washing dishes. And then the kids come in from being outside and they're covered in mud, right? So I say, all right, come here, sweeties. And I take them into the bathtub and I wash them, you know, wash them in the bath, right? What am I doing? Every single time I do one of those, I'm making a deposit. And then a deposit. And then a deposit. And then a deposit. And then I keep building those deposits up. And then all of a sudden, I find out that me and my shooting buddies are saying, hey, let's go out and let's have a shooting day. We're going to go down to so-and-so's. We're just going to shoot rifles for a day. So then I come to her, and I realize what I'm about to ask her to do is if I can go somewhere and have some fun with some friends, that it's going to leave her taking care of the kids by herself for an undetermined amount of time, right? If I've built up a nice big old fat bank account, anytime I ask to go somewhere like that, I mean, that takes out of her a little bit, right? Because now she's got to watch the kids, typically on a weekend, and she's going to be doing extra work than she would normally do. So with that said, when I've got my nice big fat bank account built up with my wife, I'm able to make those withdrawals and those expenses come a lot easier because I've been spending my time building her up. So feed into your bank accounts with your spouses. Number one, figure out what's a big deposit. Again, 5 love languages. Go read it. You do that so that way you understand what kind of deposits are bigger. My wife doesn't dislike flowers. She doesn't dislike being told that I love her verbally. But what she cares a lot more, what's a bigger deposit? We're talking about hundreds of dollars on the penny comparatively, is doing things for her, that acts of service. That is what she likes. And now that I've understood that, I can do with one thing of just washing the dishes is like bringing home 50 set of flowers for her. And now that I've got that figured out, and you can too, now that I've got that figured out, I can make huge deposits in her. So whenever there's things that I want that takes from her, maybe it's I want a morning to waking up and I don't want to have to deal with kids myself. And she just want her to do it. She is a heck of a lot more likely to say, sure, babe, go ahead and sleep in. Whenever I've been sitting there building up my bank account with her, you need to stop. You need to build up that bank account with your wife. Stop and practice these things in your marriage. Show your kids. Do them in front of your kids. Let your kids see these things happening. The purpose isn't to make them uncomfortable. Number one, kids report they feel a security when they see their parents doing this. And number two, it teaches them This is what you do in a marriage to be successful, to stay together. Do those things. Alright, guys? Get in there and love on each other. Be there for each other and show your kids how to do it too. Well, guys, I want to say thank you for joining me for this episode of Family Podcast Network. Guys, again, consider sharing this episode on Facebook and or Twitter. Also, guys, consider signing up for the site. Consider becoming a PTAC member. Again, if you feel like you're getting 20 cents per episode out of these things, consider becoming a member as a PTAC. Also, guys, consider taking a look at this book list. Guys, a big recommendation is, if you haven't heard me say it once, I'm going to say it again. 5 Love Languages. Get that book today and read it. You will not regret that bad boy. Also, take a look at His Needs, Her Needs. Another really, really good book on talking about how to build up accounts with each other. Guys, again, consider signing up for the FPN newsletter so that way you can get instant recommendations of when this is, whenever my podcast or my posts hit the website. And what that'll do, that allows you to get access to them before anybody else can get to them, and that allows you to get to them faster. Also consider listening to FPN on your mobile device through iTunes and Stitcher, and connect with me through Facebook, Twitter, RSS, blog, and forum. Guys, that's all for today. Remember, it is all about the relationships, even with your spouse. You guys have a good week, and we'll see you guys at the next podcast.